Hey everyone, I'm Andrew Gribble here with Dustin Fox, and it's our weekly look at mock drafts, Mock Drafts Live here from Berea. And Dustin, there have been a lot of mock drafts that have come out since free agency's happened. A lot of changes, but a lot of similarities going on with the Cleveland Browns right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of groupthink going on when you look at what the Browns can do. They have two picks, obviously, pick number one and pick number 12, and it seems like everybody universally has the Browns drafting Myles Garrett with the first pick. I think the one that will be the most talked about is obviously what the Browns are going to do at number 12, because there's so many options and the Browns have so many picks outside of the first round that there's even questions of, you know, whether or not the Browns could trade up even higher if they want somebody, or trade down if they decide they want to move out of that spot. But for the most part, I think, Andrew, it's Myles Garrett at one, and then let's have a conversation about what they're going to do at 12.
Yeah, and as we're going through these, make sure to get your questions in, whether it be on Facebook, Periscope. We'll be sure to answer these as we're going through these mock drafts. But as you said, the groupthink is strong with number one, and that's Myles Garrett.
Yep.
And there's a reason for this. This guy is a once-in-a-generation type of talent. That's what we hear from all these scouts.
Seems like it.
It's just, you know, the Browns need some pass-rushing ability. Mm-hmm. Every team could use a guy like Myles Garrett, it seems like. And no matter the year, maybe if there was a transcendent quarterback in this year's class, which there's not, it just seems like an inevitability that Myles Garrett is this number one pick.
Unless the Browns love one of these quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, Kaiser, or somebody else. If they love somebody and they feel like there's a team that, and we'll talk about that as we go, but that's the only scenario I think the Browns don't take Myles Garrett at one, is if there is a quarterback that they love at, you know, that they have to feel like they have to take, because otherwise, I mean, I mean, the guy is a freak.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody else. I mean, you can make arguments for other players, but nobody else is universally accepted like Myles Garrett is. So.
Yeah, I think the comparison you look to is the Texans a few years ago. They needed a quarterback, but they looked at Jadeveon Clowney saying, this is a once-in-a-generation kind of guy.
Yeah.
It took a couple years for him to really get settled in, but he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. They're a playoff team. They still have the question of quarterback, though, which is maybe the thing they have to get figured out. But that's what the Browns are going to hope to do, eventually get this quarterback in here. But it's tough to pass up a guy like Garrett.
I mean Clowney, it's a good comparison because, you know, they do have some similarities in terms of the skill set they possess, the freakish nature of their physique, their athletic ability, all those things. They both at times could disappear on tape when you look at some of the college tape of both these guys. But people I talked to, and we had Greg Cosell on my show, who obviously people really respect Greg's opinion of watching tape. He thinks that Garrett is a better prospect than Clowney coming out of college, which is, I thought was, and I respect him so much that I thought that was interesting. He compared him to Julius Peppers. I mean, if Myles Garrett turns into Julius Peppers, I think that we would all be really happy with that pick. So,
and this kind of goes into O.J. Howard, because I think he's a popular pick by both Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, first tight end off the board.
Yep.
And there's a lot of parallels between these two, because O.J. Howard, freakish physique, guy looks like a Jimmy Graham type of tight end, but at Alabama, wasn't always making big plays. Made obviously the big plays in the championship a year ago, but just never really, the offense never figured it out with him, but he's done everything right going forward. And, you know, the Browns have Gary Barnage, but this is a guy that's a true playmaker that people can envision being in a Hugh Jackson offense.
Yeah, I think Barnage is a nice, fine tight end, but he's not a transcendent player. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to take a game over. He's not a Rob Gronkowski or the kid from Jordan Reed from Washington, like in that mold. And this guy, I think, is. And the interesting thing about O.J. Howard that you and I both saw in Mobile at the Senior Bowl is that he's not just a playmaker, which he is, but he can block.
Yeah.
And that is rare to see a guy at that position with that skill set to be able to really come in the box and provide. You don't, like, he's a guy that you don't have to take off the field if you want to get into a short yard situation. He can do it all from the tight end position.
And that's something I like about O.J. Howard, because when I covered Alabama, he was a freshman. He came onto campus really skinny, more like a Jordan Reed type of tight end.
Yep.
And he was a total liability blocking. So he has shown the ability to get better and know what he needs to do to get better. Model citizen, model student, a guy you can bring in, you don't no need to worry about. The one question, though, with the tight end at number 12, one, is that too early? And two, can you get more value later in the draft with a big tight end class, maybe with that second round picks?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, because there are a ton of tight ends. I mean, this is maybe one of the heaviest tight end classes we've seen. The kid from Miami's a stud. The Ingram kid from Ole Miss, and the kid from South Alabama who had a really nice Senior Bowl too.
All right, well, let's move on to the quarterbacks. That's obviously the bulk of our questions. There are plenty of mock drafters out there projecting a quarterback to the Browns at number 12. Most notably, the local guy, Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina, just had his pro day earlier this week. Now, the question is he going to be available at 12? That's the one question. Two, is this the guy that the Browns want to wait for at 12? Because there's a couple other quarterbacks in the air as well.
I have questions about Mitch Trubisky. I'm calling him Mitch. I'm not his mom. No, we can call him whatever he wants. He cleared that up this week, by the way, at his pro day. He said that it's Mitch or Mitchell. He doesn't care. So I think he's a talented kid. I do have concerns about the 13 starts. Only started for one season at North Carolina. He's a local kid, so I think there's going to be a ton of pressure on him. And I don't really know him personally, so I can't speak to whether or not he can handle that or not. I just know that it's going to be more on him than there would be really on any other quarterback that comes to the Cleveland Browns. Very athletic kid, size, all that you look for. Talented, but the people you talked to said he's not Andrew Luck, he's not a Cam Newton, it's not a surefire top pick in the draft type of player. A first-round grade on him by everybody, but do the Browns take him at 12 when you look at all the other options that are out there? Defense, very defensive-heavy draft. You could get some really good players there. We talked about O.J. Howard at tight end as well. So I think people are putting Trubisky here because it's just assumed that the Browns are the most quarterback-needy team probably in the league, and it's rumored that Hugh Jackson likes him.
Yeah.
And so we'll see.
And I think that begs the question that Louie asks here, why not just roll with Cody Kessler as your quarterback and build everything around him? Why would you think the Browns would do that or would not do that?
I think that they could get by with Kessler for a season and see what he has. I don't get the sense that they believe that he's the future. I think they can get by with him. I think he can play. He certainly at times last year showed that he can start in this league. Listen, Cody Kessler, I think, will play in the NFL for a long time. Mm. Model citizen, great leader, great teammate, has a skill set that's, you know, above average. I think that for him to have success in the NFL, it's going to have to be between the ears and making decisions. Because, listen, some of the greatest quarterbacks we've seen don't have the strongest arm. Cody Kessler does not have the strongest arm. He does have a skill set that can play in this league, but I don't see franchise from him. I think that they can get by for a season if they feel like they want to, you know, look ahead to next year, but I don't love it. Do you love it?
Well, I think my opinion with Kessler all along has been he came into a tough spot, over-exceeded expectations, because I think in preseason, when everyone was healthy, we're like, this guy's basically going to get redshirted. I think he
didn't look like he could play.
And he thrived. I thought he meshed well, did really well in his first couple games, then defenses maybe started catching up to his strengths. But I think what he did was just show that he can be good enough, but he didn't show you enough to say we can ignore the quarterback position in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And I do think when the Browns bring in some quarterbacks, Kessler is going to have the opportunity to compete, potentially be that starter for the season opener. And then if he can really overexceed expectations, maybe you shouldn't have drafted one. You roll with Kessler going forward. You look at what Seattle did a few years ago.
Yeah.
They signed Matt Flynn to a big deal. He was going to be their guy. Russell Wilson came in, maybe people underestimated him, blew him away, won the job, and then they moved on from Matt Flynn. You can still do that even if you draft a quarterback. If Kessler really does impress you that much, he's just got to give you the opportunity to do that.
I love Jimmy Garoppolo. There's no secret about that. Everyone knows where I stand on him. That's why I don't love Trubisky at 12. I like Garrett at 1. I like somebody else at 12, and I like quarterback second round. I'm cool with Kessler. Yeah. And if you don't get Garoppolo.
Well, it's another quarterback here, a very popular one, Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. One of the more polarizing prospects out there. Yeah. I listened to a podcast earlier today. Mike Lombardi loves this guy, former Browns GM. It's just people are on both sides of the fence. Some people have second-round grades on him. But this guy's done nothing but succeed and risen to the challenge at everywhere he's been.
The only red flag on him is what, the 49-mile-an-hour throwing at the combine that was a little bit of a red flag, but those things can be inconsistent. That's been talked about. I love Deshaun Watson. He actually is my favorite quarterback in this draft. I just don't know where he goes. You know, I don't know if he's going to be somebody that's looked upon as someone that, you know, like the Niners would go at, or if the Browns love him as much as they love Mitch Trubisky. I think that this guy has proven everything on the field to be worthy of being a franchise guy. I don't get why the love is not there for him. I just don't understand it.
I think it's a fear of the offense he ran in college, the reads, and maybe the throws that he wasn't making instead of the throws he was maybe forcing. The interception numbers are a little troubling for his past season.
Yeah, but
that might be overthinking it.
if you watch some of his tape, the interceptions at times were not all on him. Yeah. I mean, a lot of tip balls, a lot of tip passes from some of his wide receivers, some drop balls as well. I just don't get caught up in the stats from a college guy. I mean, Geno Smith, who actually liked coming out of West Virginia, like his numbers were insane. Guy threw like 4 interceptions in 2 seasons. I mean, so it doesn't necessarily translate. The guy threw 30 in his first 2 seasons in the NFL. So I think Deshaun Watson, that stat is not something that you'd want to live and die with, I think.
A parallel I like to draw between Deshaun Watson and an NFL player, Jameis Winston had a similar increase in interceptions from his sophomore to junior year. He's doing pretty well in the NFL.
No question.
All right, we're getting to the question that's been up there now. Our thoughts on Deshaun Kizer. Mm-hmm. Peter Schreger of FoxSports.com thinks Kizer would be the guy at number 12. He had a pro day yesterday, got a lot of good reviews from that. He was thrown to a bunch of receivers that have no chance in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He still did pretty well. It's just he's an interesting case because not many guys who are at a big program like Notre Dame that leave it with a losing record end up getting drafted as high as he did.
Yeah, and the question with him, and I still haven't got any answers on it, is what happened between game one against Texas and the end of the season with his performance, you know, his relationship with Brian Kelly. And I know Brian Kelly's had a million starting quarterbacks since he's been there. I don't think he's had one for more than 2 seasons back to back. But Kizer has, you look at all the guys, all the quarterbacks in this draft, Kizer looks the part, I think, more than anybody.
Yeah, I think his upside is probably the biggest of all these guys.
No question. Big arm. Physical kid, also kind of a local kid too from Toledo, and he got a little bit this season, mid-season, gun-shy maybe the term, you know, the accuracy was a concern. I just think that question needs to be answered. The Browns will do the due diligence on that and figure that out, but he looks the part.
I think the interesting thing with him is everyone agrees maybe the best situation for him to be in an NFL situation would be to be with a team that has a veteran quarterback that he can learn under, maybe play in year 2, year 3. The Browns might not be the place for that. If you're drafting a guy in the first round, you probably want him to come in and play right away. Yeah. So then maybe that would be a tough situation.
And Andrew, that's a concern, is that the pressure on all these young kids in this league, the pressure is for a quarterback to come in and play right away, especially if you're drafted in the first round. I think there's less pressure, really, on a guy who's a second or third round pick because you just think the guy's going to be a developmental guy and all of a sudden he comes in and blows everyone away. But if he's going to be the 12th pick in the draft, boy, I think there's a good chance he'd probably be the quarterback under center week 1.
And let's stick with quarterbacks for just one more. We got a question from Pete. Is there any steals that you think are available in the second round for the quarterback position? And are you willing to take that risk?
That's what I want him to do. Ultimately, I do. You know, there's 2 guys I like. Nathan Peterman from Pittsburgh, who we saw at the Senior Bowl, was probably the most impressive quarterback down in Mobile. Greg Cosell, another comment he made on Peterman was that he's probably the most precise, most pro-ready quarterback right now in this entire draft class, which speaks a lot of him. Now, the talent maybe not quite as there as some of the other guys, but Peterman's someone I like. Davis Webb from Cal, who Coach Hugh Jackson got a chance to coach down in Mobile as well. He's a kid with a lot of upside too. But again, the air raid system, a lot of kids who play in that air raid system.
Couldn't beat out another quarterback prospect in this draft, Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech.
Well, there was some injury there that sort of led to that, and he transferred out. But the thing I do like about Davis Webb, he was at Texas, if you don't know, he was at Texas Tech, started at Texas Tech for Cliff Kingsbury. He gets injured. He was actually voted captain at Texas Tech. He leaves, he goes to Cal. He's voted captain at Cal, too. So how many guys can say that they were a captain at 2 different schools? I think that speaks volumes in terms of the intangibles, the leadership, things that are important for that position.
Yeah. That's why we transitioned to a different position, wide receiver at number 12, which you bring this up a couple months ago, you think, that's crazy. But the Browns lose Terrell Pryor in free agency. They bring in Kenny Britt. Now, all of a sudden, this doesn't seem like a far-fetched possibility to go with probably what would be the number one wide receiver in the draft for a second consecutive year by taking Mike Williams at Clemson.
I'm not opposed to taking a wide receiver at 12. I'm not as much of a Mike Williams fan as I am Corey Davis from Western Michigan.
He's had a rough preseason, though, leading up to the draft. Been injured.
Injured, but I've covered him for 4 years since he was a true freshman at Western Michigan. Got a chance to call a bunch of his games, and I was like smitten with him when he was a true freshman. If people listen to me on the radio, they know I loved his older brother, Titus Davis, who didn't really get a sniff, but he's the younger brother, the better, more talented wide receiver there in that family. But I could see the Browns definitely taking a wide receiver there. There is the injury concerns with Corey Coleman from last year. Terrell Pryor walks. Kenny Britt comes in. He's a veteran who I think will provide some depth and will be a quality player for them. But, man, you talk about what Hugh Jackson wants to do with this offense. He wants to take the top off of defense. He wants a lot of talent. Wide receiver Andrew Hawkins is let go. So they do have some question marks at the receiver position.
Yeah, and we'll just go into a question from Bugatti right now. The Browns obviously have some needs at the safety position. TJ McDonald's still out there, former Rams safety, played under Greg Williams. Is that a possibility, you think, for the Browns? And do they need, or they just need to wait for the draft and load up at safety in there?
They need to get Malik Hooker in this draft. But, I mean, look, if the Browns want to go that direction with the veteran, and Greg Williams is going to sign off on that, I mean, that would be his selection. I'd be okay with that if they want that. They do have a lot of holes in the secondary.
Yeah, McDonald's an interesting one. He's ranked number 18 in NFL.com's top 101 free agents. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been one word mentioned about him in free agency so far. There, so something weird going on there, but I'm sure he's going to land somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's with the Browns, maybe not. But we're moving forward, so this is where it comes into a discussion about the quarterback position at number 12.
Yep.
Because I think a lot has changed over the last month in free agency. The 49ers signed Brian Hoyer. Mm-hmm. The Bears signed Mike Glennon. They have the second and third picks in the draft. So maybe that opens the possibility for the Browns to be able to get the first quarterback in the draft without trading up. It's mixed opinions, though, among mock drafters, and a lot of them see the Jets going to the quarterback with that sixth pick.
Yeah, who do the Jets have? I mean, they signed Josh McCown. I mean, right now Josh McCown's the starting quarterback.
The perfect quarterback to groom.
No question, yeah. And he will groom a young player, so that is a good signing for them. But you're right. I mean, the fact that the Niners and Bears have, you know, seemingly added quarterbacks to their teams, I think that helps the Browns' chances to be able to take Myles Garrett and take that risk if they really want to get that quarterback at 12 that they like. So, I mean, that's probably the only team, right? I mean,
yeah. This is all about the strategy of drafting, though. You can't just look at your needs. You have to look at the teams above you and see what's realistic.
But you really think that Shanahan's not going to take a quarterback his first season?
He's going to
roll out with Hoyer?
I think he likes Brian Hoyer, and that's a team that also, like the Browns, has a lot of needs at a lot of spots. They were active in free agency, but they got a lot of guys to plug some holes, not some really big foundation pieces. I could see the popular pick for the 49ers, Solomon Thomas, a guy who's impressed at Stanford. They could use a guy like him.
Yeah.
The interesting one here, and this is maybe a little bit unclear, but it's tough to explain it. Pete Prisco of CBS Sports projected a trade between the Browns and the Jags at number 4, thinking the Browns would have to move up to number 4 to get the quarterback they wanted, and that being Deshaun Watson. The Jags would then move to 12 and take O.J. Howard.
Man, I got this funny feeling in this draft that there's going to be all these people projecting that the Browns are going to need to move up for quarterback, that the Jets are going to take a quarterback at 6, that the Browns are going to take a quarterback at 12, and then all of a sudden you just see guys just start to slide. And then if you get out of the top 12, then you're talking these guys fall to those the good teams at the back end of the draft who just look for that developmental guy. And I have this just slight feeling that you could see some of that happen. It happened the Geno Smith draft. I mean, remember that draft when E.J. Manuel was the first quarterback taken? That was a surprise to everybody.
Yeah.
And then it was nobody until Geno went in the second round. I just have that funny feeling that could happen this year, too.
And that opens up a good question from Jared Siri. If the Browns trade down, who would they target? And how far would you trade down to be comfortable to get the quarterback you want? The team I'll bring up that's a worry for me, number 13, right after the Browns, is the Arizona Cardinals. Carson Palmer's maybe got a year or two left in his career. They're looking for the next guy, and that's why Deshaun Kizer is a popular pick to the Cardinals, just because he maybe has been compared to Carson Palmer and is the kind of guy Bruce Arians wants.
Yeah, I've seen a few mock drafts have had the Browns taking a quarterback at 12, and then you're right after them at 13, Cardinals slide in and take their next, you know, project.
But
are
the Cardinals in a position to take a guy that they're not willing to play right away? They've messed up. They've had a couple first-round picks these last couple years not pan out. DJ Humphries, Robert Kimjiche. They need players, and I think they're close to the playoffs. That's why I'm hesitant to say they're a lock to take a quarterback at 13, because I think they need guys to come in right away and keep that thing going.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lock, but I think it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, they have to start looking for the future. How old's Carson Palmer now? 38?
It was in doubt if he was coming back,
yeah.
So that's how old he is at this point. Yeah. So we'll move on to something that's right in your sweet spot, Dustin,
okay,
with Ohio State guys in this
draft.
We've got popular picks. JG wants the Browns to go defense with
right
both
there.
Picks in the first round. Certainly a possibility because of the availability potentially of a Malik Hooker or Marshawn Lattimore, arguably the best players at each of their positions,
yep.
Hooker being a safety, Lattimore being a cornerback.
Yeah, these guys are really good on the outside. Both these guys, I think, will come to the league and be starters right away. But this is the star. And that guy right there, Malik Hooker, only started for one season. And, you know, the reason for it is, you know, all the guys before him were drafted as well. So he comes in and has a monster campaign this year. And there's a reason why he's projected to go top five, top 10 in this draft. And I don't think that we've seen a safety quite like him in a long time. He's got a mixture of that, and I hate to throw around great names like this for a guy who hasn't played in the league, but Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, those two great safeties from Miami who had terrific careers, and Sean Taylor obviously would have if his life wasn't cut short, but he has a little bit of that range I've never seen from a safety, and the Browns could plug this dude in the middle of their defense and be a center fielder. And we talk about range. People maybe not know what that means. It means the ability for a free safety to play basically sideline to sideline and be able to track the football when it's in the air. That guy's a monster. Now, there is a concern with his injury because he had a torn labrum in his hip. And that is apparently going pretty well. He hasn't worked out. He didn't work out at the combine. And so he's kind of on that, you know, 4 to 6 month path to get back. But it's not going to stop a team from drafting really, really high. Yeah. This upcoming draft.
And I think that's the injury might be the only reason why we're thinking it's a possibility for the Browns at 12. Mm-hmm. The teams are scared off about that.
I would trade up for him.
And why he makes sense for the Browns, too. We heard it from Greg Williams' first press conference with the Browns. He doesn't want balls going over the last defensive back's end. Yep. This is what that guy specializes in. The Browns had some injuries, inconsistency at safety position. I would consider both of the safety spots wide open going into the offseason training program. He's a guy that is a popular one among Browns fans. I know I hear a lot about Malik Hooker. I just wonder if he's going to be there at 12. I would lean no. I think he makes a lot of sense with the Chargers at 7. But these two DBs, Marshon Lattimore, there's some concerns about the hamstring injuries. He tried to put those to bed yesterday at his pro day. Gerrion Conley, both of those guys could be available at 12, and the Browns could use some DBs, some corners as well.
Yeah, he's probably the better one of the two. I do think he'll be a good player in this league, but I think he's more of that, you know, freakish athlete from the corner position. But you mentioned the hamstrings.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who couldn't get on the field for 2 years because of hamstrings and missed the whole season, had to even have an operation with those. And then he pulls his hamstring at the combine running the 40, but he did run a 4.3, 40-yard dash, so you can't deny that speed.
Yeah, Duke Johnson was a guy that had some hamstring issues in college, came into a professional setting with trainers that I think know what they're doing with the hamstrings a lot better maybe. It really hasn't been an issue since
he's been
with the Browns.
I can tell you one thing. I had muscle problems throughout my entire career. If you have them in college, I mean, they don't go away.
Yeah.
So just keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Now, day two, it could be an interesting day involving the Browns and potential Buckeyes. A wide variety of guys here. Pat Elflein, a center, can also play guard. Raekwon McMillan, a linebacker. Curtis Samuel, kind of a hybrid wide receiver, but he's being tagged as a wide receiver and is considered a likely day two pick. Which one of these guys do you like the best in terms of a prospect, and which one do you think makes the most sense for the Browns?
Well, I mean, I would say Elflein because the Browns obviously – we want to bolster their offensive line, but they've upgraded there.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, if you would have got me 2 weeks ago, I would have said Elflein, but I think I've changed my feelings on that, you know, because of what the moves.
Because they signed Treader, I mean, I just think that he kind of is out of the question now because he's a center, he's a guard. He played guard his junior year, and then he moves to center because of the, you know, guys leaving and did a really nice job there. It was a first team All American. McMillan, I think, will have a nice career. The question with Samuel is, what is he?
Yeah.
You know, he's an H-back. He's not a wide receiver. He's not a tailback. He's very fast. I mean, he ran a really, really good 40-yard dash time. But I think people compare him a lot to Jalen Marshall, who was in the last draft class, who was a really good kick returner for the Jets. He had some off-the-field issues here. But, I mean, Samuel kind of reminds a lot of people, I think, of what Jalen Marshall is in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think the most positive comparison I've seen with him is a Percy Harvin type.
Yeah.
The Urban Meyer parallels are there and how he used them in different ways.
But you don't spend a high pick on that guy.
Yeah, I'm always worried about guys that you're projecting to a different position than they truly played at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's really mixed results of that. It could be interesting, but again, if we're talking with both of these guys, the DBs or this group right here, I lean more toward the DBs if the Browns are going to go with Buckeyes because, as Brian Powell says, Joe Hayden needs some help. I would argue that he's got a little bit of help in Jamar Taylor, who had a great year. Breann Bowdy-Calhoun had an impressive rookie season considering he was an undrafted player. But you can never have enough corners, especially with the way the NFL's played right now.
Yeah, well, and not to mention the fact that Joe Hayden needs to prove himself too. And he hasn't had a chance to do that yet with Greg Williams. Greg Williams is very excited about that. But he's a guy, Joe Hayden himself, we expect him to be back. He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, it was good having you here.
Yeah, buddy.
We went through a good amount of topics. We'll be back next week as these mock drafts kind of round up. We're only 1 month away from when these mock drafts go in. The Browns have some new players.